But how long will this worldly life that has been returned to us last? It is limited, it is incomplete and vulnerable. A person's returned life may be taken away from them the very next day due to a stroke, cancer, or various kinds of diseases. The Almighty God says in Ayah 24 of Surah Anfal in the Holy Quran, O you who have faith, respond to Allah and the Messenger when He summons you to that which will give you life. The Prophet will give you life. This life is not that life. This is the life that ensures your happiness in this world, brings life to your heart, illuminates your soul, makes your life pleasant, and continues on. This life is not limited. It is not vulnerable. It is eternal life. This life that Islam, religion, and the Holy Prophet give to humanity is thousands of times more important than the life that is given to us if someone pulls us out from underneath rubble or saves us from drowning at sea. This is why humanity is indebted to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This is the right of the Prophet. We are all indebted to him. Referring to Ayah 78 of Surah Hajj in the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, While some people, non-Muslims, have not had the opportunity to gain knowledge about the Prophet's religion, thus they have no way of repaying their debt. What Almighty God will do with them is not the subject of our discussion, but they cannot repay their debt. However, those who believe in Islam can repay their debt to the Prophet. The way to do this has been shown to them. And wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. He has chosen you and has not placed any hardship for you in the religion, the faith of your father, Ibrahim. He has named you Muslims. This jihad for the sake of Allah is the way to repay our debt, because with jihad, we are submitting to God's command. If we want to compensate for what the great Prophet has done for us, the way to do this is to wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. This refers to a complete jihad. The term jihad does not just mean using swords or rocket-propelled grenades and such like, rather it refers to jihad in all fields. There is jihad in the scientific field, jihad in the political field, jihad in the field of knowledge, science and technology, and jihad in the field of ethics, which we are all truly in need of. We all need ethics. We all need knowledge. We need to engage in jihad. We can engage in jihad if we compound this with divine decree that states, Wage jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad which is worthy of Him. That is when we can say that we have repaid our debt to the great Prophet to the best of our abilities. And we must wage jihad for the cause of Islam. Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, Today, hostility towards Islam is more apparent than ever before. There was hostility in the past, but today it is completely clear. An example of this blind, ignorant hostility, which we have seen today, is the desecration of the Holy Quran. You see a foolish person doing this in public with the support of a government. What this shows is that the problem is not just what we are seeing out in the open, it is not just about insulting the Holy Quran. The discussion is really about the elements who are working behind the scenes in the desecration of the Holy Quran, those who are the designers of these immense crimes and vile actions. They think they can weaken the Quran with these kinds of acts, but they're mistaken. They're ruining themselves. They're revealing their true selves. The Holy Quran is a book of wisdom, a book of knowledge, and human development. The one who's hostile towards the Quran is hostile towards knowledge, wisdom, and human development. The Quran is against oppression. It encourages people to stand up to oppression. Neither oppress others nor be oppressed. The Quran is a call to awaken people. The one who is hostile towards the Quran does not want people to be awakened. Of course, the corrupt powers consider the Quran to be a threat to themselves. As I have said, it condemns oppression and it also reprimands oppressed people for succumbing to oppression. This is dangerous for the oppressive powers. The Quran is a danger and a threat to them. Those who now justify these actions under the pretext of freedom of speech and other such false fabrications are losing their credibility before the peoples of the world. Is anyone allowed to insult the symbols that represent Zionism in countries where it is permissible to desecrate the Holy Quran? How and with what language, better than this, can it be proven that they are under the domination of the world's usurping, criminal, plundering Zionists, whether they are the ones living in that occupied land or those living in other places? So these were a few words about the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Turning to Islamic Unity and Muslim Unity Week, the leader said, "The focus of this meeting and this week is on unity of Muslims." Well, there has been a lot spoken about Muslim unity. We have spoken about it, others have spoken about it, everyone has spoken about it. I would just like to raise a brief point. Who is the enemy of Islamic unity? Let's focus on this. Who is it that will be harmed by the unity of Muslims? Let's think about this. The enemies of the unity of Muslims are those who will suffer if Islamic countries and Islamic states unite. They will not be able to transgress, plunder, or loot other countries' resources. Problems will arise for them. They are the ones who don't want Islamic unity. Of course, there are a broad range of Islamic countries. In West Asia, North Africa, and many other parts of the world. If countries of this region unite, international powers will no longer be able to show aggression, to plunder their resources, or interfere in their internal affairs. Which power is that? The United States, of course. If countries such as Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, and the Persian Gulf countries adopt a united policy in their fundamental affairs, the aggressive powers will not be able to interfere in this region's internal affairs and in its foreign policy. Today, the United States is harming the countries in this region both politically and economically. It is stealing Syria's oil and protecting the cruel, savage Daesh terrorists in its camps. This is what they're doing. They interfere in the foreign policies of governments in this region, saying, you should do this or that, or you shouldn't do that. They even interfere in the internal policies of various countries. If we all become united and adopt a united approach, the United States can no longer do these things. It will not dare to get involved in these matters. Commenting further on U.S. hostility towards Muslims, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, This issue must be thought about. The leaders of countries, politicians and elites and experts should think about this issue. Certainly, no country in the world wants a foreign power to interfere in its internal affairs or its policies. This is obvious, but nations reluctantly succumb to them. Why? Because they're alone. However, if countries are united, if they unite, if governments back one another, and if they come together and work together, they can create a barrier and stand against interference and intrusion by foreign powers. This can be done. Of course, it is clear that we have said many times before that we do not encourage war or military action, and we avoid it as well. But I declare that we must stand together in order to prevent America's warmongering. America starts wars. The wars in this region are almost always caused by foreign agents. The border disputes and such matters cannot lead to these kinds of conflicts that we have seen in this region in the last few years. The foreign powers have provoked these wars. They come, spend money, and persuade thugs to act against innocent civilians. The elites and politicians and the heads of countries need to really think about this issue. This is an important issue for all of us. It is a vital issue. The issue of the Zionist regime of Israel is another important issue. It is also an issue which concerns this region. We have already spoken about the United States. The Israeli regime is full of spite and anger, not just towards us, although we don't really care. It is clear how they feel about the Islamic Republic of Iran, but they feel the same about many other countries as well. The Israeli regime is not happy or pleased with countries around them. They hold a grudge against many countries such as Egypt. They hold a grudge against Syria. And they also hold a grudge against Iraq. Because their goal was to take over the land from the Nile to the Euphrates. But that didn't happen. At various times and for various reasons, these countries haven't allowed this to happen. Thus, the Zionists are filled with grudge and pain. They're filled with anger. Today, Palestine is the main issue of the Islamic world. Of course, it has been this way for several decades. This is not just true today. For several decades, the issue of Palestine has been the main issue of the Islamic world. The Zionists have forced a people out of their homeland. They've usurped it and occupied it. Thousands of Palestinians have been killed, tortured, and imprisoned, and displaced. This is no small matter. The main issue of the Islamic world today is the issue of occupied Palestine. The firm view of the Islamic Republic of Iran is that governments that are gambling on normalizing their relations with the Zionist regime will suffer losses. Defeat awaits them. They are making a big mistake. As the Europeans say, they're betting on a losing horse. Today, the situation of the Israeli regime is not a situation that encourages closeness to that regime. Other governments should not make this mistake. The usurper Israeli regime is collapsing soon and is coming to an end. Today, the Palestinian movement is more alive than ever before. Today, the Palestinian youth and the Palestinian movement, the anti-occupation, anti-oppression, anti-Zionism movement is more energetic than ever before, more alive. And God willing, this movement will achieve its aims. The Honourable Founder of the Islamic Republic, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, used to say that the usurper Zionist regime is a cancerous tumour. This cancer will definitely be eradicated, God willing, by the hands of the Palestinian youth.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the respect of poor people in our Islamic lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is an honor to be here at your service. We are talking about respecting the poor in our Islamic lifestyle. Now, dear friends, we find that in the age that we live in, unfortunately, people have a tendency to look down upon the poor and the downtrodden and the oppressed. Most of the time, the people who are not poor, whether they are the lower middle class or middle class or upper middle class or the rich, these individuals unfortunately have a tendency at times to look down upon people who are poor, to look down at the poverty stricken. And this is something that is not allowed in Islam. And so as a part of our Islamic lifestyle, we will have to learn to respect the people that are poor, to respect those that are needy, and to respect the poverty-stricken individuals in our societies and communities. This is something that is incredibly important. We find many traditions in which the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, and the Immaculate and Infallible Imams, alayhim as-salam, they speak about the poor, they speak about helping the poor, they speak about respecting the poor. And truly, respecting the poor is therefore a part of our Islamic lifestyle, and it's something that we really need to touch base with. Many times, as we said, there's a tendency to disrespect people that are poor. We continue the discussion after the break. Welcome back, dear friends. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we were talking about respecting the poor in our Islamic lifestyle. One of the things that unfortunately people who have a wealthier status or a better status than the poverty-stricken, one of the things that they do is to look down upon poor people, disrespect poor people, or be mean or cruel towards poor people. All of these things are discouraged in Islam, and perhaps it could be said that in some cases these things are haram, they are totally forbidden. Disrespecting anybody, you know, for no reason is not permissible, especially the poor. We have to realize that they live in a much more difficult situation than we do. In some of the traditions, we find that we have been taught to not disrespect somebody based upon the ragged clothes that they wear, or to scorn somebody just because of the ragged clothes that they wear. You know, meaning don't disrespect the poor because of their outward appearance. You know, they really don't have any other option. What are they supposed to do? And of course, apart from this aspect of respecting the poor in our Islamic lifestyle, we also have to make sure that we help the poor when it comes to our Islamic lifestyle. Helping the poor, you know, helping them get back up on their feet, helping them to be able to, you know, get out of poverty is also a integral part of our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
In the limelight.
Official data has revealed that German factory output fell in August to the lowest level this year. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, the Federal Statistical Office revealed recently German industrial production dropped for the fourth month straight in August as factory activity faces a prolonged downturn. Production slid 0.2% from July, driven by the slowdown in construction and soaring energy prices, marking the lowest index for output recorded in Germany this year. German factories, as well as the country's economy as a whole, continue to struggle with a toxic combination of poor external demand, including from China, shortages of skilled workers, high interest rates, and the protracted fallout from last year's energy crisis. Markus Steilmann, president of the chemical association that represents industry giants such as BASF and Evonik Industries, told Bloomberg, "The situation is serious, and the mood in our industry is bad." He referenced a survey in the chemical sector which revealed that the industry continues to decline due to weak demand and persistently high energy prices. The remark came after a recent warning from several companies in Germany's chemical industry, which said they might have to relocate parts of their production abroad because of unaffordable energy costs. European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde has acknowledged that the weakness of the European Union's largest economy is weighing on the entire bloc. Lagarde told La Tribune Dimanche in an interview published recently, "Germany had built its economic model on very cheap energy supplies and on export opportunities, especially to China. The ongoing adjustment in the German economy is affecting the growth outlook." Experts say the fourth consecutive decline in German industrial production raises concerns about the country's economic prospects in the second half of this year. Martin Ademir from Bloomberg predicted, "In the face of tighter financing conditions, weak global demand, and higher energy prices, GDP is likely to have shrunk in the third quarter and might grow only marginally in the final quarter of 2023. According to some estimates, the country's gross domestic product, GDP, is likely to have contracted by 0.1% in the third quarter and is expected to shrink by as much as 0.6% in the whole year of 2023. According to Reuters, German industrial output shrank in August for the fourth consecutive month, the Federal Statistics Office said recently, an indication that the sector remains under serious pressure, stoking recession fears. Industrial production fell slightly more than expected in August by 0.2% compared to the previous month. Analysts polled by Reuters had predicted a 0.1% decline. The further drop in German industrial production in August was better than it looked as it was driven by volatile components, said Franziska Palmas, senior Europe economist at Capital Economics. However, she continued to expect high interest rates and falling demand to lead to a further contraction in German industrial output in the coming months. Palmas said, "This is one of the reasons why we are anticipating German GDP to contract in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter this year." The statistics office revised July production data to a 0.6% decline month-on-month, compared with the provisional figure of an 0.8% drop. Reuters added the less volatile three-month comparison showed that production was 1.9% lower from June to August 2023 than in the previous 3 months. A 2.4% drop in production in construction on the previous month, a 6.6% decline in energy production, and a 2.3% fall in the manufacture of machinery and equipment hurt overall performance in August. Germany's manufacturing sector, which accounts for about a fifth of its economy, remains mired in a downturn. The HCOB Final Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, for manufacturing stood at 39.6 in September, far below the 50 level separating growth from contraction. Experts said retail sales, exports, and industrial production all disappointed in the first 2 months of the third quarter, suggesting that for the entire economy, the risk of falling back into contraction is uncomfortably high.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pitch.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners, my dear sisters and brothers from every nook and cranny of the world. Welcome back to a new episode of Youth Station. Well, I'm Asma.
And I am Bita here again.
Again, we're in here.
Home sweet home. Your heartbeat is rising. You're so stressed out.
Yeah.
And this is the situation that when I was younger, I was like that. Whenever I wanted to speak, it doesn't matter which kind of situation I was in. I was speaking to my mother, speaking to my teacher, speaking to whoever. Or I wanted to give a presentation. It was all the same for me.
Oh, my God. Yeah, lectures.
Yeah.
Lectures at university.
And
they make you age.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have have experienced this, all of us, the kind of tendency that you feel in yourself when you're going to have a speech with someone.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter who, mm-hmm. because the thing that matters is you.
The thing that matters is that the ones who are in front of you, they might get into misunderstanding.
Yeah, and this is the biggest problem.
And the words are not always exactly what you mean them to be.
Exactly. And the art of speaking is something that is really difficult to achieve, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of experience, a lot of time, especially this time. And if you look around you, you'll understand that the old generation is kind of, I don't want to sound like that because I'm against old generation, you know me. But, you know, they're more capable of speaking. I think it's because of their experience, maybe, with people and human beings.
Yeah, I guess so. Because, you know, by experience, you're going to get better in your parlance, as they call it.
Yeah, exactly.
And the power of speaking, the art of speaking, because it's a subtle art and you have to gain knowledge about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that usually bothers me when I want to speak is the fact that you should take care of every single word you mention, because we have it in Persian that there's this quote that says, I must be careful about every single word I say in order not to make anyone feel sad.
Yeah.
In order not to depress anyone.
But in actually against this kind of code, we have this part that you are not responsible for what other people think about your speech.
Well, this comes
speech.
From your generation, I suppose.
I don't know, but it's not like I really care about what other people think about what I'm telling them. You know?
You know, it's not about I don't care about what they feel. It's more about humanity, you know? The things that I say, maybe right now, I just say something to you, I don't mean it. I don't have the intention to hurt you. But then I hurt you without even knowing that. Then
so
you
is
go
this your
to
problem?
Your home. I don't know what's the answer.
It's not a responsibility. This is my problem that I was misunderstood.
Well, I had my own part in that as well.
No, it's not like that. You know, I think we have to try our best to clarify our intentions. You know, I think we have to do that, okay? It's our responsibility to be clear, to be obvious to other people. But if even in this situation they are misunderstanding us, it's not our problem.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
No, your face is like you do not agree with me.
No, I agree, but you know, because it happens to me as well. Sometimes people say things and they're very much careless, but then it's as if they have been daggering my heart, you know?
I know.
But they did not even notice it.
So did you know that they don't notice it?
I feel like they don't notice it, but then I cannot help myself not thinking about how cruel they are.
I don't know what is true and what is wrong here. I mean, I don't know whether you have to be so frank or conservative or what
yeah,
you should
see,
do.
I always say that interaction with human beings is very difficult.
It is really complicated because
you
know,
cannot make everyone satisfied
exactly.
with you.
You know, you cannot control other people's reaction, and I think this is the root problem, or I don't know whether we can call it a problem
well,
or not, but it's a challenge.
Yeah,
for sure.
All in all, I would say that talking and the words you pick, the choice of words of every single person is unique to themselves. But then this choice of words comes from your background, comes from your family, comes from your study and education.
And your personality.
Your personality and many things. So when you speak, it's not actually just you who speaks to others.
Exactly.
It's the entire background behind you that is talking to other people. So before we get into more, I guess you know we have to go for a break.
Unfortunately.
Yes, so every word that comes out of your mouth, you unfortunately have to just watch it.
I know.
Because people are going to judge you, because then it's very sad to hurt other people, because you're a human being and you're responsible for the words you mention, and because maybe it's going to be used against you.
There are many ways to expand your choice of words, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you are like, okay, I'm not responsible for your feelings, and you use it as an excuse to do nothing for developing your art of speaking.
Yeah.
You know, at least you have to try to expand your choice of words and the words you use. Because, you know, I think the biggest problem, as we mentioned, was these misunderstandings that happens in everybody's interactions of normal people, okay? So if you want to lessen it, if you want to alleviate it, you cannot stop it for sure. You have to read books. You have to go through the stories, the writings of other
improve
people.
Improve your knowledge.
Yeah, and this is really, really important.
When Honestly, going through some books will change the way you talk to other people because it would learn you some tricks and some very hints and clues about how to speak in a more clear way.
You know what? And this is like kind of the edge of the sword. Why? Because sometimes there are some people who are really, really good at speaking. You know, they know the art of speaking. They know the metaphors. They know the beauty of speaking, which is literature. And they use it to manipulate your thought. They use it to actually get whatever they want from you.
So when I see the youngsters, how they just treat their parents, how they actually address their parents, it just makes me feel like, oh my God.
You know what is the problem here? The problem is social media. Because when you go through the social media, there is no boundary for you. You are completely free to tell other people everything you want. It doesn't matter whether you're using, I don't know, slang words or you're being so polite.
Yeah.
You know, everybody accepts you.
And you know what's the problem with the media?
What
the problem is that they use their parents or grandparents to make fun of certain issue and certain topic.
Yeah, I know.
So they forget about the respect part and they go for the fun part.
You know what? I think it's not the problem of the young generation, unfortunately, because the gap between these two generations is so, you know, so much that they cannot feel it with respect. They cannot feel it with I don't know, understanding of these two generations, then these kind of things and disrespect will happen. And in order to avoid these kind of things, I think the older generation should do something.
Yeah.
What to do? Talking to the young generation. You know, they don't want to talk to us because they think we're so rebel to listen to them. But it's not like that, you know?
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I have seen many people who try their best to become close to their children. While, of course, I do not agree that you have to get so close to your children.
Yeah,
because, you
this
know,
is a point.
There must be a sense of authority.
There should be a wall.
A certain amount of authority is needed in the relationship of children and their parent.
Yeah.
And the thing which is very important is that the same way that children are responsible for the word they utter toward their parents, the parents are responsible for the words they say to their children.
Exactly.
Like there are some parents who do not call their children with good names.
Yeah.
Like they put some names that are so ridiculous and so meaningless. And then they do not talk thoughtfully with their children. I mean, sometimes we shouldn't look from one side. We should go as in bilateral way. It's not a one-sided road.
It is not.
It's a two-sided road. So when we say the children are responsible, the parents are as well.
You know what? I think the first step is to understand how this matters, actually. You have to understand that words actually have their own special value, their own special background for everybody. And when you understand this, that how you talk is really important, then you're going to work on that. You're going to do something about it. And the first time that I figured out how important it is to have the art of speaking was the time I understood that you can gain money. You can actually make money with your speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And this is really important. You know, look at the presidents. Look at all the people who work in politics.
Exactly.
Concepts and so on. All these people are using the art of speaking. Unfortunately.
And?
Yeah. Look at the sad look in your eyes.
When your face changes like this, it means the break is coming.
The
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
There was this story in literature, in Persian literature, that a shepherd was talking to Allah in his own language.
Yeah.
And then he was saying words that was not proper to use toward Allah, you know, as if he was talking to his close friend.
Yeah, I know.
Then the Prophet Moses came to him, and then he started to, you know, shake some senses into his head and told him that, okay, this is not the way you should talk to your Lord. He is the Almighty. You shouldn't just address him like your close friend and whatever, and things like this. And then Allah himself started talking to Musa and then told him, he was talking to me in his own language. Why did you do that to him?
Yeah.
Let everyone just talk to me the way they want to.
Yeah, this is a kind of a really nice story that I think
yeah.
we all heard it. And, you know, it really is important. You cannot expect someone from, I don't know, a lower education to speak to you like a professor. And I saw somewhere this sentence that if you want to know whether you're mature enough or not in your interactions with other people, just see whether how you're talking to other people. If you are talking to an old man, which I don't know, was kind of trader all the way his life, if you're talking to him as the way he's talking to you, it means that you are something. It means that you got to track with the people and you put yourself in their level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're talking to other people like you are something, like you are, you know everything, you are so amazing and so that.
Yeah, and they
not
do not know anything.
Yeah.
Well, the moral of the story, just as I said, the shepherd and the things that he was talking
prophet,
to Allah.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually to tell you that the only time where you can be yourself is the time when you are with your Lord.
Yeah.
It's okay that you can be just so easy with him and then talk to him like your friend. But then again, we have it in our literature and our Islamic heritage that even with Allah, when you want to talk to him, there are some steps. You
yeah.
know, you can speak as an ordinary person and just take off all the masks you have and then talk to your close friend who is your Lord. But then if you get to a closer situation from your Lord, then you would understand that there are some certain ways of speaking,
yeah.
even to Allah himself. So the gist of what we're talking about, I guess, is going to be this fact that whomever you talk to has got their own language. You can't talk to everyone the same way you talk to your own self.
Exactly.
Or the same way you talk to your, I don't know, child. You can talk with your teachers and with your, I don't know, some people who are just like, you know, in other situations.
Yeah, I think it was a long episode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you started from the anxiety that you may get whenever you are speaking to other people and we come to this point that it really matters who you are talking to. You have to find the background of other people.
Yeah.
And you have to choose your words correctly and accurately. And it's something that you can practice.
Just pay attention to what
exactly.
you say.
And this is your choice, the way you speak. And this choice is going to show other people who you are. So, dear listeners, I wish you farewell.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
RIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Hundreds of innocent children from Gaza will be ignored, buried, and replaced by the Western propaganda narrative perpetuated by the Zionist settler colonial regime. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, the Biden administration is supporting massacres from the sky by the Israeli apartheid regime. It's a serious charge rooted in facts. The U.S. is rearming the fabricated regime of Israel, even as hundreds of Palestinian children are being killed by Israel's airstrikes. The truth is, brown and Muslim people have always counted for less in the eyes of European and American regimes. The ongoing and constant Israeli regime bombardment in Gaza has claimed the lives and bodies of thousands of innocent people in just the past days. The occupying power has made it nearly impossible for rescue teams and ambulances to access areas that have been destroyed. The intense bombardment has rendered roads impassable. There is also an acute shortage of fuel for emergency vehicles. This human toll is accompanied by an unprecedented level of destruction to civilian, commercial, and residential areas to fulfill Israeli regime politicians' promise to burn the besieged, occupied, and embattled Gaza Strip to the ground and either return it to the Stone Age, as Benny Gantz once bragged, or destroy it completely, as Likud's M.K. Tali Gottlieb has just called for. Hundreds of innocent children from Gaza will be ignored, buried, and replaced by the propaganda narrative perpetuated by the Zionist settler colonial regime. These current massacres and violent policies are not a new phenomenon. It is this historical violence that rendered some 75% of Gaza as refugees, forcibly displaced within their land. It is this history that Western media refuse to mention. They seem to think are just angry people with no just cause. What the Biden administration fails to comprehend is that Palestinians are no different from any colonized people fighting to defend their land, their right to live in dignity and freedom, and their entitlement to full humanity. These have been systematically denied us by an apartheid regime that seeks to dehumanize, dispossess Palestinians from their land, and erase them from world consciousness. Gaza dead children are nothing to them, at best eliciting crocodile tears as they blame the Palestinian resistance for making them slaughter friends, neighbors, and cousins from thousands of feet above the open-air prison that is Gaza. Crescent International, meanwhile, wrote, the Zionists are using U.S.-supplied F-15 and F-16 planes to bomb the tiny Gaza Strip and destroy its infrastructure. It is also using phosphorus bombs that are banned under international law against the Palestinian people. It has frequently bombed Gaza since 2008, after the Zionist invaders were driven out of the tiny enclave in 2005. The Zionist regime attacked Gaza in 2008, 2009, 2012, 2014, 2018, 2020, 2021, 2022, and again in 2023. If the Zionist regime war criminals believe they can terrorize the Palestinian people into submission, they must be the most stupid people in the world. What did the Zionists achieve in their previous wars on Gaza? They destroyed much of Gaza's infrastructure and killed thousands of innocent Palestinians. Did that force the Palestinians to surrender? Absolutely not. In the Zionist regime's latest murderous bombing campaign, many civilians in Gaza have been killed, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. At least 60% are women and children. This number will certainly rise as the Zionists continue to bomb the besieged enclave. Electricity, water, fuel, and food have also been cut off to the 2.2 million inhabitants. This constitutes a war crime, according to the UN Special Rapporteur for Palestine. The fabricated regime of Israel is a terrorist regime. It is backed by such other terrorists as Joe Biden, Rishi Sunak, and a host of other war criminals. The Palestinian people refuse to disappear. They will resist and fight until they have overthrown the yoke of Zionist colonialism and achieved their freedom.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
In this program, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance Field. This meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. What I would like to say is that the event of the Sacred Defense is a prominent, important period in our country's history. The Arabs in our region, the Arab countries, provided Saddam with unlimited amounts of money. All the things that he imported and bought from the European countries were bought with the money given to him by our Arab friends. They gave him both money and transportation routes. The region on the border of the southern part of the Persian Gulf was the place where trucks and heavy vehicles were constantly bringing equipment to Iraq. So everyone helped Saddam. Everyone. The aggressors were these. But what about us? We didn't have anyone to support us. Even the provisions and weapons that were prepared to purchase were not given to us except on rare occasions. There were a few very minor cases where we were able to buy and import a product from a place by paying more money than was conventional and usual with great difficulty and with much effort. But this had absolutely no effect on the inequality in the war, nor was this able to reduce this inequality by even a bit. No, that is not how it was.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
So in battle like this and in such a confrontation, the Iranian nation was able to stand on the heights of victory and demonstrate its magnificence to the world. This is greatness. The third aspect, which is about who were the defenders, is also an exceptional matter. Well, there was an army, there was the IRGC, and the besieged forces were present in the form of IRGC units. These are more or less similar to what we see in the world today. In other words, their appearance was similar to present-day armed units, but they weren't just that. They weren't that. Yes, the appearance of those who were defending, the appearance of the army, and the appearance of the IRGC seemed to be similar to the conventional settings we see around the world. But they were something else internally. Internally, they were not at all similar to the world's military campaigns. First of all, the commander of this collection, the magnanimous Imam Khomeini, was a divine man. He was a unique divine person who, along with his knowledge, thought, experience, and maturity in various areas, possessed a clear soul and spiritual purity. Therefore, his words were influential.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Tens of thousands of Palestinians demonstrated across the occupied West Bank in support of their brothers and sisters in the besieged Gaza Strip and against Israeli airstrikes pounding the blockaded territory for almost a week. Thousands here in Ramallah poured out onto the streets after the Friday prayers, demanding the world not to turn a blind eye to the atrocities committed by Israel against the civilians in the long blockaded Gaza Strip.
It's a new stage in the ethnic cleansing of our people and a genocide. Our message to the whole world, the Palestinian people have the right to live, not to be killed. Immediate international intervention is required to end the massacres and end the Israeli occupation and prevent the current ethnic cleansing. We are all in the same boat, and we have the right to resist the Israeli occupation granted by the international laws.
Hundreds of Gazans living and working in Ramallah have been among the protesters. All of them told us they feel helpless. All of them are worried about their family members. They fear that if their beloved ones die, they will not be able to see them. And they wish they were there with their family under the airstrikes, so they would die together.
Civilians are being murdered. We are not the terrorists. We are not the murderers of children. This war must immediately come to an end. My family, my wife, and my children are there in Gaza. Can you imagine how I feel? I cannot sleep. It's painful to stay here and watch without being able to do anything when the Israelis are committing all sorts of atrocities against my people.
I wonder if the world is watching the children and infants in Gaza being slaughtered. 20 children from Abu al-Hayat family were slaughtered. They were my family's neighbors. The situation on the ground is awful. What should I say? What sort of message can we deliver? What's happening is so difficult. Only Allah can save us. No one will save Gaza today but Allah.
Following the rally in central Ramallah, scores of Palestinians from all walks of life marched toward areas where Israeli checkpoints were located across the occupied West Bank. Thousands of protesters arrived at the Beit El military checkpoint northern Ramallah and clashed with Israeli soldiers. The troops opened fire at the rally to disperse the angry protesters. This